You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
What's going on, everybody? It's a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We're here to hit our mark. I'm going to do it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Kim Matt Martin.
I am Shakur Tolliver.
Hey, and we in the building. We got two new guests.
Yeah.
So these were set up by Donye. Yes. Donye's like, okay, he's not going to be in the building. He set up his soft family. He was like, we're going to talk about, you know what I'm saying, soft one way or another.
Sir, yes, sir. Or
so we got Kim Matt in the building. So tell us a little bit about who you are, Kim Matt.
I am currently the producing director of the Williams Sound Theater Festival.
Awesome.
But prior to that, was the founder and executive director of Pyramid Theater Company in Des Moines, which I co-founded with Jure Holder.
Iowa.
Yes, Des Moines, Iowa, the middle of nowhere. Went to undergrad from Little Rock originally, lived in Chicago, worked at the Goodman for a bit, and then went to grad school at Brown before I found my way to Williamstown and to New York.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And you said you worked at the Goodman?
I worked at the Goodman, yeah.
In Chicago?
Yeah, in Chicago.
Okay. How long were you there?
I was there for a year and a half. Okay. I was the apprentice general manager there, and then left there, went to get my MFA in directing at Brown, and then left there, came to New York, and started.
So you're just all over the place.
A little bit.
Just everything.
Can't be moving.
So you want to produce or do you want to direct?
I am a producer. I mean, literally, that's what I am presently. I mean, I went to grad school for directing. I've been both throughout my life and career, but presently focused on producing.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm saying? People want to know what you do. So they're like, okay, he's a director too. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? They might call you for something that you could direct.
That's cute. Like, in a past life.
That's cute.
I'm focused on producing right now. I can't, that freelance life is not
for
me.
I love it. Hey, yeah. I'm with it. Shakur.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us who you are.
My name is Shakur Tolliver. I am an actor here in New York, New Jersey also. Born in New Jersey, Morristown, New Jersey.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
25. Yeah, fresh face.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You just graduated from school?
Yeah, no, 2016.
Okay. So, well, I mean, you just graduated from school. Where'd you go?
I went to Drew University in Madison, New Jersey.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah. And you studied acting?
Well, I went there to be a bio major, actually.
Okay, see, this is what I'm talking about. Why I gotta dig? I gotta dig for the juicy stuff. Tell us a little about that. What happened? Well, where did the change come?
Well, luckily, I was introduced to theater by a man named Rodney Gilbert, the most amazing man to ever do the damn thing. I ran into a friend of mine, cause I was taking all these bio classes and chem and all this shit. And I was like, yo, I need like one creative outlet. So I took a music class and, I drew the visual arts, music and theater are all in the same room, are all in the same building, in the same room. they're all in the same building. And so I was walking into my class and I bumped into a friend of mine who I didn't know went to the school. And I was like, oh, yo, like, what's up, like, what you doing? He's like, oh, I just left my theater class. I was like, yo, that's always interested me, but nah, like, that's not me. Like, I could never do that shit. Like, no, like, no way. And she's like, why don't you just, like, come by? Like, you would love the professor. And I'm like, nah, like, that's not me. I'm not doing that. So I go to my class, I go back to my room, and then she calls me, because, like, you know, theater class is, like especially intro is, like a three-hour class.
Mm-hmm.
And so she calls me, and I'm like, we were friends, but like we weren't like, I was like, how do you even have my number? But like, I was like, all right, sure. So I answered and she's like, yo, I told the professor about you, like yada, yada, yada. Like you should come by. And I was like, listen, I don't do theater. I'm not doing that. Like that's not me. Like, I don't like, that, no, no way. And then a week goes by and the same thing happens. I finish my class, go back to my room. She calls me. She's like, hey, like, so apparently the professor like enrolled you in the class and like, you know, it's like the second day and you already missed one. You can only miss two. Then you'll fail out. And I was like, yo, like, he can't do that. Like, what? Like, what?
What?
So I get all my shit. I run down there. I walk in and like, you know, I see this. And it's like, it's possibly like the whitest school ever. Like, it's possibly the whitest school. You know, only black male in my class, in the theater department.
Uh-huh.
So I walk in and I see this black man, like, the nicest suit, bow tie, like fedora hat on, and he's just like, he's strutting across the stage, like, you know, like talking to everybody, and like, I was like, whoa, like, oh, like, you know, I've just never seen like someone with such stature and like such like, I don't know, his like his aura was like, I don't know, so like it was both inviting and like intimidating, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just so curious about it. And so, you know, I mean, I ended up taking that class that day and changed my entire life, changed my entire trajectory. And you know, I remember I was driving off campus one day, and I was with my mom, and she, and like I was just like, you know, I'm gonna tell her, like, I want to change my major, and I'm gonna tell her right now. And I was like, Mom, I think I'm gonna change my major to theater. And which, you know, in a household that like, that could be like,
in
wow,
a black
like,
household,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you lost your mind.
Exactly, right?
What?
So I'm totally
to be a
So you know, so I was totally expecting like, you know, to get the work, and then she was like, oh yeah, like that makes so much sense for you, like that, like that's who you are, like.
Oh,
and,
really?
Oh, that's lovely.
And like the weight that was lifted.
Yeah.
Oh my God! And like,
that's
ever
beautiful.
Since, yeah. And
that's
then ever since then, like, you know.
Now I met your mother. Your mother came to see the show. Oh, I didn't know that was your mom.
Yeah,
I could not believe it.
Yeah,
she looks fantastic. Yeah. Hey, Mom.
Mama, we made it. Yeah, so.
That's what's up.
That's how I got involved
up.
In this stuff, man.
Well, now you're doing the damn thing, bro.
Trying to.
Yeah, so you just were a part of the non-equity company at Williamstown.
Mm-hmm,
and so you did more than one show. You did more than just Soft.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did that work out?
When you get there, you get like, you get like a bunch of opportunities to meet a bunch of casting directors and a bunch of agents and all like all that. It, you know, it was great. Sure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially for where I am in my career, where like, you know, I don't have representation, and you know, I'm still trying to like navigate.
Well, I'm sure you got representation now, don't
well,
you?
Well, that's the thing. I got some meetings.
Okay.
You know,
like, right.
So like, right.
So you have representation.
At this moment, no.
By the time the week is out,
I'm hoping so. That's what we're hoping. You know, it was definitely. Actually, yo, I just had the craziest audition experience, actually. What did you just say? Sorry.
Come on.
Right,
no, go ahead.
Well, it was just like, you know, like this has like never happened to me before. So one of the casting directors that was there, you know, he hit up some of us, like, the ones who aren't in grad school, he hit up all of us, and we're like, he was like, hey, like, come in, like, read for this role.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walk in, someone walks out of the room. It's, you know, it's one of the soft boys, Malik E. Childs, He comes out of the room, and I'm like, and, you know, we embrace each other. You know, it was like, I hadn't seen him in like, what, 3 days, and you know, it was like a family reunion. You know, he leaves. I walk into the room, dude, like white dude. He saw the show. He daps me up, and he's like, dude, oh my God, like, and then, you know, he's like, I mean, you know, long story short, like, he was just like, he loved the show. He was talking about how like, he's never seen like an audience react to a show like that before. He was telling me, like, I actually heard this story, but like I didn't get to see it myself. He was like, the day that he went, I mean, maybe I shouldn't talk about the show, like, you know, like give away some of the stuff, but you know, the end moment, he said he saw like this like big, like this big black guy, like you know, he's like just like, you know, like looked like just hyper masculine, saw him break down and like just saw him like, you know, allow himself to be vulnerable. And he, like, you know, he's just like, he was just talking about how he's never seen like, you know, people affected in that sort of way.
And he was doing this all during the audition.
And like, by the way, and so like 15 minutes go by, there's people outside waiting, and I'm like, is this why people get late? Like, because like, you know, like they're just in there chilling, hanging out. And I'm like,
talking.
You know, I at some point I'm like, I feel weird about this, but like, I kind of feel good. Like, I'm chilling. You know what I mean? Like, so it was like, that
he'll
just never happened
you.
To me. You know, that just never happened. Like, he was just totally like, you know. It wasn't like about the audition. It was like just two people hanging out, and I was like, "Am I gonna read these sides? Like, what's good? Like, you know,
just gonna sit here and talk."
Yeah, yeah. It was just the weirdest thing ever to me, because like I had never been in that position before, and it was dope, and I'm trying to be in that more definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like that was just.
Well, dope. I'm sure there's more of that to come for you, because the production was really great.
Got my fingers crossed.
All of the gentlemen in production of Soft were just phenomenal, and I'm so proud of Danye.
Mm-hmm.
It's just otherworldly the things that he is able to put on the page.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
And so I'm happy to have you both here.
Happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here. What else did you guys see at Williamstown? What else was popping?
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's a trick question for me. I see it all.
yes. But you know, we want to talk about the blacks.
Yeah.
So what was popping for us?
I mean, well, you know, so we started our season with The Raising of the Sun.
Right.
Directed by Robert O'Hara. And then followed that it literally like a day or two later with A Human Being of Sort by Jonathan Payne.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which Whitney White directed.
I love Whitney.
Yeah, she's a homie. So so that's how we literally kicked off our season. I mean, so it literally doesn't get any blacker than that. Like, it started with like the two black blackest plays you could think of for the season.
And how were they?
You know, I mean, they were both wonderful. It's hard for me. I mean, you got to see them in a very different way, Shakur. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear your experience of them. Like, I'm inside of them, literally, like in tech and everything else. And so they were both very, very special to me. But I don't know that that actually means anything, having spent as much time as I had to spend with them, you know, to make them happen. But I think they were both truly special.
Yeah. And I think it definitely does. I mean, that's such a unique like a perspective and experience, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely.
I mean, like I was saying, you know, before we started, for The Raisin in particular, that was the fourth production of Raisin that I've worked on.
Mm. Oh,
and the fifth Hansberry play that I've worked on professionally, because I worked on signing Sidney Brustein's Window at the Goodman when I was still in Chicago.
Legs.
And facts, just like facts. But anyway, but like, so you know, it's crazy to spend as much time as I've spent with Lorraine's work and with that play in particular, and to see a production where it was like, oh wow, like I feel like I've literally never seen this play before. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and I'm hesitant to say anything because it's hard to describe unless you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's truly a special production that you know.
Yeah, I mean, I
for the people
I'm
that don't
echoing.
Know the people in the cast were
the cast was Essie Payton Murchison as playing Mama, playing Lena, Francois Baptiste as Walter Lee, Manny Matston as Ruth, Nakia Mathis as Benita. Josh Echeberry playing Asagai, Kyle Beltran.
Shout out Josh.
Playing George Morkison.
Kyle.
My God, that's a huge cast. I feel like I'm missing somebody and will be shot if they see me in the streets. But, like, who am I missing?
You say Nick?
Nick who?
Nakia?
But yeah, I said Nakia, yeah. Little Owen Tabaka, who's his second time doing the play. He did it at Two River.
Crushed it there,
as well.
Too.
Played Travis in the play. I think that's everybody, right? Oh! Shout out to Warner Miller, who played Bobo in the production.
Okay, along
with some other special things particular to that production. See, that's why I can't talk about it too much, because there's like so many dope things that happen in it.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
that's what we want to hear about.
I think I got everybody right.
Yeah,
that's what's up. So y'all had a good summer overall, Williamstown.
Yeah, great.
And Andre Brower was in the other play in A Human Being of a Sort, and Antonio Michael Woodard was a young actor. I'm biased. We went to grad school together. That's the homie. who now is about to do his thing in Macbeth here soon at Classic Stage here shortly. So like him and Andre and Sullivan Jones and Keith Randolph Smith and George Bennett Watson. Who else am I forgetting from that cast? That's everybody, right? Frank Wood. I think I got everybody. But that was in the other play, A Human Being, which is the new play about Jonathan. So it was a really cool way to kick off the summer.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, shout out to everybody that, you know, was involved in Williamstown. I enjoyed my time up there, even though I just went up and came right on back.
Mm-hmm.
I had to come right on back. But it was a good experience. So if you ever get the chance, make sure you go out to Williamstown, support, audition for the shows out there. You know, maybe Ken Matt might have something to do with you being cast.
I have nothing to do with casting. I cannot
just slide into his DMs. You don't know. He know everybody. You see, he flexing with
you. Now, when you get there, I got your back. You know what I'm saying? Shakur can tell you. Like,
yes,
I got
sir.
You
yeah.
what you did.
Yeah, that's what's
I have nothing to do with casting. Just
that's what's up. So y'all pretty much haven't seen anything since y'all been back in the city. Y'all only been back for like 2 weeks.
I've been back for 2 days.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just got back.
Oh, wow.
Because I have to stay the week after to close the thing down.
Ooh, Jesus.
Yeah. I'm like in it.
That's much.
Yeah.
That's a little much.
Yeah, and I'm in New Jersey right now, so. But I'm coming back to Harlem soon.
Okay.
I've literally seen nothing. I had a ticket to see what's the play at Lincoln Center? The Rolling Stone.
Oh, I missed that.
One of my homeboys is understudying on it, and I had a ticket to see it last night, and I love Saheem, and I literally like could not get out of bed. I'm sorry. I'm saying it on air, but it's just the truth.
Yeah.
I had to skip out. I was tired.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Been there more
I
than
couldn't
one
get
time.
Up. I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna sit here. So
I've been there more than once.
Yep.
I actually quit my job this week.
Oh,
let's talk.
Congratulations. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a job I needed.
Sure, sure.
I have been working at Manhattan Theater Club for almost a year now.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting the job to just basically get out of the house. I've been going through a bad depression and just needed something to motivate me to leave the house.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so that's what I ended up getting that job.
What were you doing there?
I was just working at the front desk.
Okay.
I used to always go in there and just work.
See, this is where I used to see you. Remember when I was like, I felt like I'd seen you before? Because we rehearsed
in Manhattan
the first two plays of the season.
Yeah, that's why I was always... Yeah, I was always... Yeah, so I worked at the front desk, and it was really simple. But I started to realize that I didn't have the joy or the gusto that I wanted to have when I got there. And also... You know, all the black people was like leaving. Like, all the black people I worked with, like, not working there no more. So, that was another thing. And it was just like my attitude, just I noticed that my attitude had become increasingly more agitated the more that I went there. And I said, well, this is no longer a space that is serving me anymore. Yeah, so, I need to leave. And it wasn't like I needed the money or the job. I actually think that they got me on a couple hours, like, at least about a good 8 to 12 hours while I'm clocking in. And, like, it's a check in there that I should have. But I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I quit this week. And I'm just like, okay. Hey, so what am I going to do with all this time? I mean, it's not like it's a whole bunch of time, but like it's like 18 hours, 12 hours.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But like it's still time that I'm not going to be using like traveling because it takes me time to get into the city. And like,
so
it's like I have like more free time. And like that gave me a gusto to just having that space and opportunity to be able to do whatever it is that I need to do to solve whatever it is that I have going on in my head. So yeah, I'm glad to have that time. So that was like my week. Like I was like, okay, let me figure out what my new life is, what my new plan is.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'm figuring that out right now.
Look, I know about that freestyle. I know about that. All that free time life, like you mentioned, freelancing earlier. And like, I mean, that's all this is for me. So you know, so
yeah,
I like there's definitely times where I'm like. I'll be sitting in my house and I'm like, yo, like I'm not doing nothing. Like, what am I doing?
I could be
like,
doing
Yeah, you know, like, what can I be doing right now? I gotta go. But like, I don't know. Like sometimes it's like now after like you know coming back from Williamstown, it's really nice to like kind of sit down and be like,
yeah.
You know what's interesting for me because I freelance for a minute. Like that's how I started. Like I've been in this business since I was 12. I was an actor first. Started as a kid on a TV show, all of that, and then
what TV show?
Made my way.
You can't just say that and not lie.
Right? Like, I'm just gonna walk past this real quick. Like,
TV show, you know.
I when I was a kid, messed around and found my way onto Nickelodeon on All That.
You were all
there. I was for the last couple of episodes. You're not gonna find it because here's the story. Like it's the most anticlimactic story ever, but it was a cool way to grow up because what happened was. I auditioned for what was the reboot season. So, like, the season with, like, Jamie Lynn Spears and the woman nobody really cares about. Like, this is not the Kenan and Kel era. This is not Mary Beth and all of them. Like, this is when nobody actually gave two shits. And I auditioned and I booked a role on the show and was going to be set up to be a regular cast member. And then the show got canceled.
Oh, damn.
So that's how it started. But the cool thing about it was like, that's what kickstarted my career in this business was like, I got my agent out of it. I got my first manager out of it. And then spent a lot of time in LA and Atlanta going back and forth and then doing a whole lot of other like voiceovers on other shows and all that kind of stuff. And that's how I started in this crazy business. And then from there, transitioned to doing theater and then found my way into directing and all that. But the cool thing is like to the whole point about like leaving the freelance life and now having like a full-time like institutional job, which is my second one between the Goodman and this one, is like it's literally right now is the first time I've ever had a vacation in my entire life because I've like hopped from gig to gig like every year. Mm-hmm. When I was at Williamstown last summer, I was the directing fellow. I was the Fuller fellow last year. Right. And like I left that gig, went back to Des Moines, was like running stuff in my theater, left that, came here, was in the Gospel of Colonus last summer in the park.
Great show.
Which was an accident. It was just a crazy story.
I love that
show. I started as assistant director and then some stuff went a little crazy. And I
what happened?
In the play.
Now you know I want to know what happened. I'll just let you talk.
He'd be trying to like skirt around and you're like, we staying right here.
What
like,
happened with the Gospel of Colonius?
I just was really, really fortunate to be able to help out when they were in a tough spot. And it was cool because I got to... even though I have not worked as an actor in years,
I don't like you.
Got to make my debut
because you know why? Because you
in the park.
You
it was really dope.
You being so politically correct and like you giving me the Barbara Walters answer, and I'm trying to be, you know, what I'm saying like.
No, I mean, there's really nothing more to say. In all seriousness, like I started off as like an assistant to the director. Like I was one of the two assistants, and they were putting up the show in a very short amount of time, and so. It got to a point where the option was
how, in terms of how could I be most helpful? Was it helpful for me to stay out of the show and keep trying to like give notes and try to get the huge community chorus of people, the, you know, the notes that they needed to actually make the show happen? Or was it easier for me to just step in and do it? And so the solution was me stepping in and just doing it. And so that's how, that was like literally, which is hilarious because I hadn't worked as an actor. Like I was a kid that grew up that like I was an actor, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I like completely let that go and was like fine with it and like chilling and living my best life as a director and as a producer. And then messed around and on accident made my Park debut. That's in the crazy. Gospel of Colonus. Yeah, literally like a year ago today. Like I started rehearsal a year ago today. So
that's amazing.
It was wild.
I was in that show in college, actually.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like man, you want to talk show. About a show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a show.
I like it.
You know, and the cool thing is like when I got to do it at the park, it was with basically all the original cast of who was living. So like that was the crazy thing. It's like all of them were like, they had been doing it for like 35 years or whatever since.
And for people who don't know, it's a show that basically starred Morgan Freeman.
Yes, on
Broadway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, if you ever watch the movie Camp, the opening number from the movie Camp is
How
from
Shall I See You
Gospel
Columbus. Yeah, shout out to Sasha Allen, killing it in Camp.
Oh, that's my girl. I love Sasha.
Yeah,
I need to have her on the show. That's somebody, but she
should be here. She's looking busy too.
Yeah, she's. I think she's doing. What is that? What's the white man she be singing with? You know who I'm talking about, the rocker, the rock and roll.
I don't know. I kind of sort of know what you're talking about, but I don't
know
his name.
I'm talking about.
No, I don't know
it's
his name,
Sting.
But I know who you're talking
it's
about.
It's not Sting, and it's not.
I'm
gonna
famous,
be so mad.
A famous white man rock dude.
Yes, he's famous as hell. He was like one of the judges on American Idol. I think it's like it's not. It's oh, was he American?
Steven Tyler.
Is it Steven Tyler? No, it's not Steven Tyler.
Aerosmith?
It's not Aerosmith. It is. Oh, I got to look it up now because I know she's singing.
I don't know.
Yeah, I have
like
no idea.
Rock
for this.
And roll. She's singing with somebody that's like a legendary.
Shout out to her. I mean, her voice is insane. I'll listen to her sing anything.
Mick Jagger.
She's singing with Mick Jagger?
Yeah, the Rolling Stones.
Wow. When did that happen?
She's been singing with them for a
good
long
for her.
Time.
That's
but like.
Dope.
You know that's what that song they got that black lady howling on.
Yeah,
she be howling. What is the name of that song?
I don't know.
But y'all know what I'm talking about.
I don't. I actually do not.
Let me see. Okay. Give Me Shelter. That's the name of it. Give Me Shelter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah
okay.
So she's let me see if I can find. Look, now you got me down like a rabbit hole. Just really, really quick.
And she sing, how did that happen?
I don't know, but she's been doing it for
like
years.
When she
it's
like did the voice
years.
Or something? Because she did
Lisa
the voice.
Lisa Fisher used to do it.
Oh, yeah, Lisa Fisher. You want to talk about a singing ass lady.
Lisa Fisher used to, that's I mean, she's still
singing.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah. Is this Sasha singing?
It's just a show.
Yeah.
I want to hear Sasha. I don't know where.
I was like, yeah.
Okay, I can't find it. Forget it. But so she sings with Mick Jagger. I just love that I remember.
Shout
that.
Out to her.
Yes, shout
Mick
out
Jagger.
To her.
Big shout out.
But yeah, okay, so we was talking about Shakespeare in the Park. Oh, aren't they? Hercules is coming.
Hercules
is coming.
It's
like,
so exciting.
They still haven't announced all the musicals. They announced like three of them.
Wait, I thought they announced them all, yeah.
Did they? No, I don't think they announced them all.
I saw like Ramona.
Yeah, but they only announced like three of them. Like,
oh, interesting. I thought maybe I might have misread. You would know better than anyone. So hell, if you don't know, I don't know. But
well, and they sort of like brushed it underneath, like because they announced Jelani was
Hercules,
so they sort of brushed
Krista,
the rest of the.
Krista Rodriguez, I think, is doing.
Yeah. So they sort of brushed like the rest of the cast underneath.
Did they brush it, or is it like because it's a community works it's like they're this is a public work show rather. Is it maybe that they're like filling it in with like some community members or whatever?
Like nobody cares about anybody else but Hercules and the Muses. Like we don't care about. I don't even know who Christina is playing. Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. What character is that?
Krista.
I don't even know.
She's
what's
playing
her name?
Meg.
Christina Rodriguez. What's
Krista, that? Not Christina. Krista.
Same shit.
She's playing Meg. You remember Meg?
No, like, I don't. I don't know who Meg is.
Meg was the other chick in the movie who, like, what's the song? I Won't Say I'm in Love. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
I mean, I don't.
I don't remember the show like that. I just remember the Muses and Hercules. Like, I can go the distance.
I mean, those are the main two to remember.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
but. Yeah.
Yeah, Meg was a pretty big part in that, right?
No,
yeah,
Meg is like the love interest of the thing.
Yeah, so they announced Tamika Lawrence.
Yes.
As one of the. As
Tamika and Ramona and who else?
It's not Ramona, it's Rima Webb, ain't it?
Is Rima doing it too? That's what I thought. They announced them all because it's Rima and then Ramona Keller is doing it too, I'm pretty sure.
Ramona Keller? Oh, I think she is doing it too.
Yeah. Because you want to talk about somebody that can wail. Boy.
Well, yeah, and she's a true soprano.
No, like they don't make them like that no
ridiculous.
More. It's like that ain't no way Aretha Franklin, you know that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Where you come in, that's
yeah, she has an amazing, unique. Like, I've been in love with her since the musical Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Brooklyn and in Carolina Change, too. Like,
Carolina Change, yeah, the radio, ooh, which is one of the hot topics. We might
know.
Just go into hot topics right now. So, we're just going into the hot topics. But don't put me there. Don't put me there.
Please keep him there. Please
hold
keep
on, Chris. Hold on. When I tell you, do not put me there.
I think I'm gonna keep that.
No, you're not.
Come on, let me. No, I'm gonna put a little reverb on it.
Well, let me do it over then. Let me do a real one.
Nah, all right. Well, yeah, that'll work. Come on.
The fact that you're even entertaining. No, we're just gonna put Amber right here. Thank you so much. It's time for the hot topics.
Hot topics.
Since we're going right into it, Carolina Change is coming back to Broadway.
Man,
starring Sharon
D. Clarke, right?
Yes, yeah. Sharon D. Clarke is like
who won the Olivier for it.
She won the Olivier for it. Yeah. She also won the Olivier for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom over in London.
Correct.
Too.
Yes.
She is everything. Like Sharon D. Clarke is literally everything. And this is one of my and I've talked about this several times before. So I am like overjoyed. This is my all time favorite musical. Like. Just it doesn't get any better than Carolina Change.
I
cannot
agree.
Wait to have my merchandise. Like
no, like
I'm gonna have every
merchandise.
Yes, like I'm going to be there at least once a week. To
no,
see
like
the show.
For real.
Like, I cannot even like my the high school me, like senior high school me, is like blowing up on the inside.
I love that.
I can't even.
It was
fathom.
The first cast album I ever bought. Like when I was going through that phase, as a lot of people do, you know,
right.
Like where you're discovering theater, musical theater, all that. And it was one of the first cast albums that I ever bought. And my mind was literally blown. Like listening to Tanya Pinkins and like
it's
Chuck
so good.
Cooper. I mean, it's
I've
like,
never seen it, so this got me
it's
hyped.
Amazing.
For it right
oh my
now.
God.
Got me
you
hyped.
Have to
it's
see
so
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. I think so I want to. Well, I can't really do that because, I mean, I have a bootleg. Of the original, and
it's on YouTube.
A viewing party of the original. But
there's
like,
still one on YouTube. The full thing is on YouTube. I
yeah, and
should
also
say
we're
that.
Coming up on the 25th anniversary too. I believe is it the 20th anniversary or the 20 or the 15th year?
Don't age me like
maybe
that,
it's 15
man.
Years. Yeah,
I was like 25th.
It's
nah.
either the 14th or 15th year. Don't give me the line
because I was in high school too. Don't do that. No.
Yeah. So like this is I'm stunned as I. And I'm also thinking about like when Sharon D. Clarke leaves, who else is gonna play?
I mean,
Caroline?
Who else? Can, it's one of those roles.
Oh my
though.
God, Audra McDonald as Carolina Change, or even Tanya Pinkins coming back and doing Carolina again.
I take that in a day of the week.
Oh my God, what? Because y'all was silent on Audra. Don't are you trying to play Audra?
No one. Plays
I was
Audra.
Actually gonna ask if you saw Frankie and Johnny.
I did see Frankie.
Yeah.
I
saw
Frankie. We talked about that.
No.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
No one plays Audra.
I liked it.
Did you?
I really did.
Did it make you cringe at all?
Oh, I mean. Sometimes
cringe,
yeah, but
really?
but overall,
why made you cringe?
I was happy.
There are some.
I saw it.
Creepy ass moments.
Yeah, it's got some weird moments. Definitely,
like it's very creepy. Like this man will not leave her house.
Yeah.
Like she's bribing him with food and like saying, "Okay, you're gonna leave after I make this sandwich."
Right.
Like.
Right.
It's very creepy. Like,
yeah, it was hard for me as like an audience member to be like, okay, like I'm gonna believe this is a real interaction. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Like, especially like all this, you know, all the social climate right now.
It doesn't
fit.
Right.
It just doesn't
fit.
What we got going on. And like, man.
Yeah. Under the
and he was ugly.
Lens.
That's what I kept talking about. And he was ugly. Like I don't want to keep seeing this man's penis. And he is ugly. Like. Like at least let him look like something. Like this man had been underneath the knife so many times. I can't even. Why y'all looking crazy?
True.
Y'all now don't now y'all act. Don't lie. That man.
I don't know
like,
about no knife.
That man, his face looked like he'd been cut up and pulled back at least two, three times.
Yeah.
I don't know that I agree with that.
I'm just saying.
Whoa. I don't know that I agree with that.
That's so funny.
I mean, I know this man has had plastic surgery on his face, and that's what I'm saying. Like, why? What is with the eyes? Yeah. What am I saying something wrong, Chris? Tell me.
I don't know. Do I have to edit this out?
No, you don't have to.
Nah, we good. Yeah, we good right now.
Nothing.
I'm just laughing. You know, it seems like y'all might have ties to him. Do y'all have ties to?
Come on, ask the questions, Chris. I mean, come on in and ask the questions.
You know, what it is? Because I see a lot of that type of shit in podcasting where you mention a certain name and
then people be like,
people get quiet.
That's why we can't have cameras in here.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask if you guys had any plans to have that.
No, absolutely not. No,
I got no ties. I have no ties.
This is my personal opinion. I'm just saying the man is not attractive to me.
That's all good.
I was listing reasons why.
That's all good. Yeah.
But that's okay. You know, he's attracted to somebody. So
somebody somewhere.
As long as he's not gonna be in Carolina Change, we cool. Because Carolina Change is like, oh, what if Chuck Cooper comes back? Like, who's gonna do the baritone like bass of the Dryer? Who's gonna be the angelic moon? Like, I need to know because it's gonna have to be like what if some of the old cast members come back?
I don't even know. Do they even make baritones like Chuck Cooper anymore?
They
like,
do not.
Is that like a thing that exists?
Like, they don't write for them anymore.
No, like, so that's a one and only kind of voice in presence.
Where they are,
you know?
You got Juwan Jackson, who's in Ain't Too Proud.
Yes, that is true. That is true. And Juwan,
but I don't see him as like a Dryer. I mean, I don't know.
Well, and I think also like when you look at the original and like how Chuck was doing it, like you know, it's like. It's the Dryer plus the bus plus all these other things. Like, it encompasses so many other things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, I feel like you need somebody who can, I don't know. Like,
you need a granddaddy.
You need Chuck Cooper.
You need a granddaddy.
I don't know who
that's
else.
That's been down by the river.
Literally.
You know what I'm saying? That took the bus, that walked the 5 miles.
Yeah.
Like, you need Chuck Cooper. Oh my God, I'm getting so excited.
Yeah,
like,
y'all got me hyped to see this now.
It's truly one of the greatest pieces.
It's a theatrical nut. It really is.
Yeah.
It's a theatrical nut.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. I can't wait.
And Emmy. and you think about
I'm ready to explode.
No, it's crazy. And you think of like Anika Nani Rose, like when she originated Emmy and all of that. Like,
yes,
it's like
she won, this started her
that
career.
That she won her Tony for. Yeah.
It started her career.
Yeah.
So maybe she'll come back too. Because Anika, yeah.
Oh man, and dang, I forgot her name.
I can see
from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, Shonda Wilson.
Shonda Wilson.
Yep.
Yeah.
This
my
is before
God.
Grey's Anatomy.
I know. Like, yeah.
Woo! What if Anika comes back and plays Dottie? Or like,
that would be dope.
Oh, I just need.
That would be dope.
I need to know. Maybe I can be in the show. Oh my gosh, if I could be in
Carolina
Change.
That's what this has all been about.
Oh my gosh, if I could be in Carolina Change, I would die. I would die. Oh my gosh, I can't even fathom. I'm getting hot. Because this is my shit. Like, do y'all understand? 16 feet beneath sea level?
I mean, it's insane.
Ah! Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to calm down because, y'all not feeling me.
No,
I'm here.
No. That score, like,
I
got to
wait for the experience.
Like,
that's all that is.
No.
Okay. This is my favorite music.
And, like,
time.
I got
I just
four
went
kids.
Saw a production at, what was that, Astoria? It was like APAC. I think that's the name of it.
Oh,
APAC.
Yeah.
I think it's Jersey.
I know what you're talking about.
I went and saw the production of it, and it fed my soul. It did what it needed to do, but like now I'm ready for like a full on like. And Sharon D. Clarke, I know, is about to give it to me.
Because
I don't even think they gave her a cast album for when she did it in London. And we we need a cast album of her. Like,
of her doing the thing.
So if y'all don't know who Sharon D. Clarke is, like, get into her.
She's dope.
Like, go and look up her performances. She's been working in London
forever
in a day.
Yeah.
But she also did.
Is this her first time in New York?
No.
She just did something else.
It can't be.
Or is it? No, wait.
She was here a while ago. Like, Let me think. Don't get me to lying. She was in. Well, she hasn't been on Broadway. I'm looking.
That's
it
what
up
I
now.
Thought. Yeah, that's what
I
was like.
I feel like she's been in New York. Like she did shows here. Before.
She's probably done like some. I don't know. Maybe like some concerts or something like that, right? But That's what I thought. It was like her Broadway debut, maybe.
It is her Broadway debut.
Yeah. Which is like, amen and long overdue.
Yeah, like, I feel like she's about to be like another Cynthia.
That's what I was just about to say. Yeah.
Like,
literally.
I feel like she's going to get over here and start working and she's not going to stop.
She's going to stop.
Because, like, she is like the theater, like the quintessential black mama. Like,
true.
But she's just so amazing. I'm really excited about it. Really, really excited about it. I can't even. We'll probably come back and talk about it some more so that I can get it out of my system because, Caroline or Change is everything. And it's always going to be Caroline over Change. It's not Caroline or Change for me. It's going to be Caroline over Change. Like, I choose Caroline over Change. Mm. So that's what my t-shirts are going to say, Caroline over Change.
I can't wait to see this now.
It's everything.
Yeah. I'm definitely oversold. Like,
so make sure you get there. The previews will begin March 13th ahead of an April 7th opening night at Studio 54. The transfer will be directed by Michael Longhurst, who also directed the Olivier nominated staging. Sharon D. Clarke is starring. We haven't heard of who else will be in the production, but we know it's going to be lit. Hopefully my name will be on there. If you know what I'm saying, if it is, we're going to come back. I'm going to be like, yes, I made it.
Yo, it's over. If you get in that, it's over. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Shit. If I do Caroline,
it's over. It's a wrap.
I can retire. I'm done. Yeah. It's over. Like, we're out of here.
About to make your own podcast just devoted to talk.
Just to talk about it. It's going to be called Caroline Over Change. Yes. I might just have to do like a whole segment about, I can't breathe, y'all. Like, I can't breathe. I'm so excited.
I'll put those vibes out there for you.
Please do.
I want this for you now.
I have to, like, sort of, like, manifest this now.
I'm going to add it to my prayer list. I got you.
Yes, please. Because you know what? For the longest time in me pursuing being an actor and not pursuing being an actor, you know, and it's always been about belief. I come from a very small town. I come from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And, my major connection to, like most people from small towns, to the theater community was the Tony Awards. And when my senior year of high school, when Tanya Pinkins was performing Caroline or Change on the Tony Awards, and she wasn't in the best voice, and you know, people was on the message boards talking about her, but you could not say that she didn't nail the intent or didn't have the essence or the aura that was necessary. She didn't win that year, which I really think that she should have. But you know, it was a lot of others, you know, Wicked and
that was like crazy. There's a whole documentary about that year.
Yeah, so it was the show business.
It was like a crazy year.
Broadway show business.
Wicked and Avenue Q and all were in that same season or something.
Was Heights in there too?
No,
in
the Heights is later. Yeah.
So like, just the belief of being able to be a part of a Broadway show sometimes escapes my mind. Like, it's like not even a possibility. Like, it's coming to Broadway. Like, oh my gosh. But I don't think, like, maybe I can, you know what I'm saying, audition for this show and actually be in it.
Absolutely.
So sometimes you have to, like, sort of like, well, that is the thing. Let me plant that seed. Let me, like, not feel like that's such a far reach. And I think we have to do that for ourselves often, where sometimes we think that things are out of our reach just because of how we've been conditioned, and not because we don't believe in ourselves, but just because of how we view the world. And so remember that things are within our reach and that we can reach out and grab them and take hold and manifest them.
Yes,
so
sir, amen.
Thank y'all for reminding me that.
I think I just recently started to like fully believe in myself. Like I that sounds so silly. Just like, I mean, like, you know, something like that that you just said is like so beautiful, so true, so right. Like, you should always feel like that. But like, it's just so weird, like how we're all taught to, like, you know, like downplay everything and like, you know, like be like, oh, like I could never, like, you know, I just recently started to be like, you know what, like I do belong here.
Yeah.
And if I don't, like, you can trust that I'm gonna work my ass off so that, you know, it's a seamless transition to me belonging here, you know.
Right.
So I just recently came into that realization that, like, you know,
you have a very strong presence, especially on stage, especially, you know, towards the point of the show where you're passing out the flowers, where you know, so you look me dead in my soul, and my knees went weak. I'm like, Lord, Father God, I don't know what's going on here.
Thank you.
Like, no, yeah, but you have a definitely. Crazy. So you're talented. So you definitely should be believing in yourself. If you didn't, I would tell you. Like, you shouldn't be believing that hard. So,
no, you know,
don't believe too hard.
Like, you can believe, but like maybe you should
maybe you should tone it down a little bit. No, I wouldn't dare. Or maybe I would. But yeah, so thank y'all for reminding me. Also, something else has happened, another hot topic. This all came out in like the same time, which is like, I don't know why all the... Oh, because it's Roundabout Theater Company. So Roundabout Theater Company
making like a season
is doing this as well. Yeah. So because Roundabout Theater Company don't never do black shows, and now they just want to do a whole bunch at once because they subscriptions and shit is like going under, and like the white people are dying, and so like they need more subscriptions. They're doing black shows now. So they don't. Why are you laughing?
It's funny. I'm just literally.
So they're doing black shows now. So they announced both of these shows at the same time. This other show is a soldier's play. Is coming back to the drummer appeared off Broadway in 1981 at the Negro Ensemble Company, starring Adolf Caesar, Denzel Washington, Larry B. Riley, Samuel L. Jackson, Peter Friedman, and Charles Brown. The production won the New York Drama Critics Circle and the Obie Awards for Best Play, as well as the Pulitzer Prize. Mm-hmm. In 1984 film version of A Soldier's Story, which was adapted by Fuller for the screen, earned Academy Award and Golden Globe nominations for Best Film and Best Screen. David Alan Greer has a long history with The Soldier's Play. He's joining the cast, as well as, I saw somebody else in here. Blair Underwood.
Yeah.
Blair Underwood, like both these gentlemen coming back to the stage, coming back to the Broadway stage. You know, David Alan Greer was in Porgy and Bess. Blair Underwood did A Streetcar Named Desire some years ago. And so having them both come back to Broadway is definitely a feat. David Alan Greer does amazing work. I don't think he gets the...
No, he's about to. I hope he finally wins a Tony this time.
Yeah, I hope he does too. Like, but a lot of people don't know that David Alan Greer did Dreamgirls. Like, he was part of the original cast. Yeah. Like, he was one of the replacements of Jim Gurley. The man can sing, the man is talented.
And he did that that Jackie Robinson show, was like one of his first shows that he did.
On Broadway?
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
He was like straight out, I don't even remember the name of it, but it was like straight out of school because he went to Yale.
Yeah.
And he did that show. I can't think of what the actual name of it. I don't know if it's just like Jackie Robinson. Or
like, when you think about his resume, it's
insane.
Sickening.
Mm-hmm. It's insane. Like,
David Alan Greer is sickening.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even. Yeah, so I'm really excited about Soldier's Play. So shout out to Roundabout Theater Company for you know bringing something to the table this year.
I mean, and talk about a play. Like, it's one of my favorite plays of all time.
It's going to
like,
be really, really
truly like, one of my favorite plays.
And you know, everybody's coming out for it. Everybody black.
Everybody mama already called the agent and their manager.
The Tony's about to be lit this year. Like, crazy. It's about to be so much happening. Like, okay, so... Woo! Okay, let me just breathe for a second because I can't even find the words because I'm getting flustered because I'm getting excited. Tajik Hall and Colleen Ballinger, who just started their run in Waitress.
Mm-hmm.
They're like best friends, YouTube people, but if you want to go see Waitress, Tajik Hall, he's back on Broadway.
Will Tajik be in at the same time as, didn't they just announce Jordan Sparks?
Will Jordan be in at the same time?
Jordan Sparks. Okay, wow.
Jordan Sparks is going to be playing Jenna in Waitress like a 3-week period. She's going to be in the show. She'll play a limited engagement starting September 15th or September 16th. She'll start September 16th, and then she'll be done October 27th. And then Tajik will be there until... Because that would be cute for them to both be in the show at the same time.
Yeah, if they're in at the same time. That's exciting. And they're going to miss each other?
He's there for September 15th.
Dang.
Like, literally, she comes in the next day, and he gone.
Dang.
They can't afford it. That's they can't afford bad. It. It's too much money to have both of this. No, I'm just playing.
But it's closing soon, yeah?
It is closing soon. Yeah. This is one of, like, the final cast stunts that they're doing.
Right.
But Jordan Sparks is going to nail that score, so I'm definitely going to be there to see her sing this. I need to hear that Sugar Butter Flower. Yeah. Yes, Jordan. I need to hear you. And I know somebody's gonna have the shout out to my people that love the Broadway shows and they go and get the audio bootlegs. Like the audio bootlegs. When I tell you, I have been living off The Secret Life of Bees for a few weeks since it closed. Like,
really?
Oh my God! Did y'all see that?
We were.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the Berkshires.
Yep.
Secret Life of Bees, the musical, is so good. Do you hear me? Like,
so I hear.
So I mean, I thank y'all to the people on the message boards and in like the little chats and stuff in the groups, and y'all be having the videos and y'all be having the audio, and you know, sometimes you just be needing that. You be needing a certain cast, a certain dynamic at the certain, like a certain date, and they be having it.
Like, they got it all, whatever you need.
Yes, it just be wonderful. So shout out to that. So make sure y'all get Jordan Sparks too. I know y'all will, but make sure, you know what I'm saying, I can find you.
Just put that out there.
Right. Just make sure I can find you. Just send it to me. Just prep it and get it ready. Like when Jordan come, I need to have it. So Jordan Sparks as Jenna. I wish they would have like I mean, not saying that she's not black, but like a dark skinned Jenna. Like I wanted to see a dark skinned waitress. Like they had Nicolette
did it for a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. She was. Yeah. But she, you know, she's fair skinned. Yeah, but I want to hear like a church Southern, like, you know, because it's based in in the country, like, that's, you know, true. What I'm saying, they country, yeah, they Southern. Uh-huh. I want to see a black Southern, like, and not just like the Becky. Like, I wanted one of the Beckys to be Jenna. Like, flip it up. Like, let me hear this, you know what I'm saying, sugar butter flour in the church, like in the church basement. Like, they making the pies in the church basement. Do you hear me? Like, for Sunday, like, yes, when Sunday come. I'm just saying, that's what I would like, you know what I'm saying, but that's just me. What else? Michael Benjamin Washington will headline Anna Deavere Smith's show. She was supposed to actually do the show, but now she's not doing it. But Michael Benjamin Washington, who was also Boys in the Band, yeah, on Broadway. So he's going to be headlining the solo show Fires in the Mirror off Broadway at the Signature Theater. Signature, be directed by Saheem Abi. The previews begin October 22nd and open on November 11th. Based on real events, Fires in the Mirror follows the death of an African-American boy and a young Orthodox Jewish scholar in the summer of 1991 as underlying racial tensions affect the community of Crown Heights and a civil outbreak erupts. The 1992 world premiere was performed by Anna Deavere Smith originally, but Michael Benjamin Washington will be taking over for this production because Anna Deavere Smith is booked and busy. So much going on. Mm-hmm. Dee Dee is costume designing this too, because she's also costume designing.
She's doing it all.
The roundabout shit.
Uh-huh.
She's doing that, and so she's doing this. Alan C. Edwards is doing lighting design, scenic design by Arnolfo.
Arnolfo. He worked. I worked with him this past summer.
Also. Yeah, the production is scheduled to play limited engagement through November 24th. So make sure you get there, Signature Theater. What else am I missing? What else? Oh, the complete casting for world premiere musical The Wrong Man, Joshua Henry. Yeah. This is like that whole cast of...
This is at MCC.
Yeah, this is at MCC where all the people from Hamilton are part of this, like
Tommy Kellen.
And, music and lyrics by Ross Golan.
Mm-hmm.
Based on his concept album, The Wrong Man, is set in Reno, Nevada, where Duran. It's like
a true story, right? It's like based off of some, like the source material is some kind of crazy true story or something. I'm pretty sure it was like a whole. I read a whole thing about it, but I don't know.
We don't care.
Gotcha. Okay.
Duran, a man just scraping by, is accused of murder. He says he didn't commit. The Wrong Man will feature choreography by Travis Wall, music direction by Taylor Peckham, with scenic design by Rachel Hawk, and, you know, all the good shit. Because that sound like it's all white people. I think the only people in here that's black, it looks like right now, are Joshua Henry and Sierra Renee.
There's a Kyle Robinson.
Okay,
cast.
There's more ensemble.
Yeah.
So shout out to them. Amber Pickens. I like Amber. Amber Pickens. I think Kyle Robinson, Julius Williams. So shout out to all of y'all. That should be cute. I haven't heard the concept album, so I'm not sure what the music's going to sound like.
I have no idea.
But, you know, everybody keeps, I mean, they hyping it like it's going to be like really good, but you know, they do that with everything
because
they want people to come see the show. But, like, it ain't moved me yet. Like,
I honestly don't know enough about it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it ain't moved. Like, you know how you would normally, I shouldn't say normally, sometimes there are certain elements that really excite you, like maybe the director or some of the cast members or like the production team as a whole. There isn't anything that really about the show that's like really moving, even though I love Joshua Henry, I love Sierra Renee individually. Them coming together and doing a show with the rest of these people, just it doesn't spark like Carolina Chains. Like, I'm excited, you know what I'm saying? Like, soldiers play, I'm excited.
Rightfully so.
But you know, we'll see what it's given, you know. Let's see a preview, a little number or two. Let's see what y'all got to offer. See if I want to give y'all my coins over, you know, but I love MCC either way, so I'll probably be there. speaking of something that does excite us, like shit that should be exciting, is the history making black female creative team for Soul Train.
Yes.
This sounds really exciting. Dominique Moriso, Dominique Moriso, and Camilla Forbes, who is the head of Apollo Theater, as well as Camille A. Brown, who we've had on the show before, will choreograph. Camilla Forbes will direct, and the book will be written by Dominique Moriso. And also attached is Questlove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Questlove is a
who's producing it. Yeah.
Musical. So it sounds like it's going to be on and popping.
That's going to be crazy.
The landmark TV show's 50th anniversary, Soul Train, is aiming to bow on Broadway in 2021 and is making history as the first production to have African-American female artists as the creative core of a Broadway musical. Written by Tony, well, we said all that.
Yeah.
Soul Train was created in 1971 by Don Cornelius and featured performances by R&B, pop, soul, and hip-hop artists. It ran for 35 years. And in 2006, it was the longest-running first-run nationally syndicated program in television history. Through more than 20 classic hit songs from the era, Soul Train, the musical tells the personal story of Cornelius as he creates the iconic television series. So this should be good. Don Cornelius' son, Tony Cornelius, had this to say. He said, "With many years of experience working directly with my father, I'm forever grateful and deeply humbled by the impact Soul Train has had on the culture at large, both here and abroad. For 37 years and with purpose, through music, dance, and style, Soul Train brought love, peace, and soul to a national audience. This positive representation is extremely satisfying and marks its 50th anniversary. Honoring his accomplishments, creative vision, and legacy with a Broadway musical only emphasizes the impact Soul Train had as our American fabric." Soul Train is the shit, and I'm interested to see how this comes together.
And I hope they're gonna like actually talk about it too. Like when you look at what was Don Cornelius's life and like,
oh, definitely,
you know what I mean?
Well,
like with Dominique on
about.
It, you know what I mean? Like
that's what they're saying.
Putting him at
about.
The center. Like, I hope they really go there.
Yeah, because I mean, it has to be about his life.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can't really make a musical about Soul Train, the show. Yeah. I mean, I guess
you could.
You'd like, be taking a lot of liberties with some of those.
Well, then it turns into another, like, you know, jukebox musical of sorts.
Well, this sounds like a jukebox musical of his own.
Totally, but it sounds like one if they're actually focusing on Don Cornelius and they have Dominique actually like with the pen to paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope it actually ends up being like something fully realized in a way that's like not just like, and now we're gonna play this hit, and now this hit, and then this hit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think Dominique has always been good at telling a story.
Exactly. Yeah.
So she'll have both of those without a doubt.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm interested to see what they develop, what they come up with.
Yeah.
Isn't there a movie, a Soul Train movie, or am I bugging with that?
No,
I might be
like
bugging.
A TV series.
Oh, is it a TV series?
BET did that TV series. Right?
I've never watched American Soul.
I watched like an episode of it.
It's like loosely based on Soul Train.
No, I mean it's pretty like it's the whole like Don Cornelius is a character and everything. I feel terrible because I literally watched an episode and I have some friends on it. But
oh wow,
yeah, but yeah, like it was like a whole. Yeah, I didn't hear much about it. Clearly, y'all didn't watch it either, so I don't feel like I missed shit.
No, I surely didn't. Well, that should be exciting. You know, we look forward to hearing more, and you know, Camille's always willing to come back on the show, so we can talk about more about that when she get back.
She's so shy.
And I would just say she's not shy. She's just like reserved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she reserves her energy. Also, I wanted to mention before I forget right now, you can go back and listen to the episode "We're Telling the Truth, But We're Lying." My friend Bossy Igbe, her book came out this past week. I've been telling y'all about it. If I'm an advocate for mental health. That is like the biggest thing for me, just because it's something that has truly affected my life, especially over the past 3, 4, 5 years. And Bossy Igbe was one of the people that really motivated me to seek help, to seek therapy, and to figure out how to process my trauma and what's going on in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wrote this book to basically about her life and to explain and to help people sort of process what that means for them, and also sharing what it meant for her. And the book is phenomenal. It's selling out everywhere. Make sure you go get it. It's called "I'm Telling the Truth, But I'm Lying." You can also listen to the episode where she was featured on the show. I wanted to make sure we highlighted that and I posted and stuff too. on social, so that way you can go back and listen to it. But it was very touching. Also, go and listen to her episode on The Read. She did an episode with Crystal and Kefiri that is absolutely phenomenal as well, that just really just touched my soul, and she just said some things that really resonated with me. So go and check it out as soon as you get the chance. I didn't want to forget that. Also wanted to talk about Little Shop of Horrors. They announced who's like gonna be Audrey 2, which is,
oh yeah, which Kingsley one, because there's two.
Yeah, so there's two. So
there's one in
Audrey Pasta. 2 is gonna be Amber Riley in LA.
That's
the one here in New York is gonna be Kingsley Legs.
Gotcha.
Kingsley is known for he was just in Pretty Woman,
mm-hmm.
But he's done the voice of Audrey 2 before.
Oh, okay.
And so they also, did they announce, who else did they announce? Oh, they announced Ari Groover, who's been on our show, who's been a guest co-host. I was trying to invite her today, but she going off and doing something else today. But she's going to be in the show. She's going to be a Ronette, Salome Smith as Crystal, and newcomer Joy Woods as Chiffon. So shout out to the ladies that are going to be the urchins in Little Shop of Horrors.
Where is that happening again?
That's going to be at the West Side Theater, September 17th, with the opening on October 17th. Hmm. So coming up soon. Check it out. Let me see if I'm forgetting anything else. I think we had a lot. That's a lot of hot topics.
It was a good week.
It's been, because we've been gone for like 2 weeks. So we needed to fit, you know, a lot of those in. Also, the Once on This Island tour. Shout out to Cassandra James, to Myra Gray, Philip Boykin, Courtney Carter. They will lead the Once on This Island tour. That's amazing. Like, I'm so happy for them. I'm glad that the show is going to continue to get legs, because it was really great.
It was
and
great
to see these cast members going with it. Tamara Gray was great as Papa G. Cassandra James, Philip Boykin. Woo, so many names. Brianna Brooks, George L. Brown.
You started saying them.
Danielle,
you
got to
say them all.
Right,
uh-huh,
you got to say
go
them.
Get through the whole list. Yeah.
Michael Lynn, Alden Abram, Michael Ivan Carrier, Jay Donnell, Fire Hawkins, Savannah Jackson Page, Alex Joseph Grayson, Tatiana Lofton, and Robert Zelaya. I think I know him.
You got through all the names.
I did.
That was a lot of names.
I did. Congratulations to all of you. I'm going to try to come and check y'all out one of these good tour stops. But we'll see. And don't get me to lying. That's my favorite thing to say. Don't get me to lying, because I don't want to lie, but I be wanting to. Like, I want to go and support y'all. But you know, like we was talking about before, going to support people is a full time job,
ain't it?
Boy. Trying to get all these tickets, and, you know, get there and stuff. Like, child, y'all be doing shows all over the country. I'm glad y'all booked and blessed and busy. I can support y'all from afar.
For real,
send
y'all
a gift basket. Shit. Okay.
Oh,
we got through all
that's
the
full time job. That's
yeah, I think
funny.
We got
like
through
that.
The major. I think we got through all of the major fucking things. Oh, I went on to Hot Topics and I skipped the game and everything.
Oh.
Yeah, you did say it. Oh, I noticed that. Like, you said an order, and then like, I was like, okay, yeah.
Because
yeah,
we started
been, like,
talking
you know,
about Hot Topic shit. Anyway.
And then we
hey,
look, it's
yeah,
not my
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah.
My bad. Y'all wouldn't even gonna say nothing.
I mean, because want to fuck up the game. That's why. Let's just do
yeah,
it.
Honestly,
let's
like I was like,
let's just get
like,
out the
right,
way.
Yeah, cool.
Let's just go ahead. Let's just do it.
Oh, well, this week is not going to be, I said what I said, it's going to be 6 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have an intro for 6 degrees separation, do we?
No, we don't.
We should make one up. Y'all want to make one up?
Okay.
I mean, you know
I can,
what?
I can drop you a B if you need that.
Hey, come on.
Uh-huh. Actually, there's a lot of explosives in there. You know?
It's 6 degrees. It's 6 degrees. 6 degrees of separation.
Look.
That's
kind of
nice.
No, I can't see what you do with that.
I'm going to do my hold up. Yeah. I'm going to do my usual little bit of reverb.
Okay.
And, you know, that's all we need, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, it was quick.
Need.
It was
quick. It was easy.
Yeah.
Shakur, you want to do our theme song too?
Oh,
nah. Shakur, you single?
Yeah.
Amber wants to do a game show, and so she was telling me today, because we was like, Shakur, I think he's straight, and she's like, so y'all having a straight man on show, ain't nobody tell me? And so she want to do a game show, so we're going to have you invite you back on to do a dating game show with Amber.
Yeah,
would you want to date with Amber?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh,
absolutely.
Did you see her when she was up there?
You heard that, Chris?
Did you meet her when she was up at Williamson?
No, I actually didn't. No, I don't think so.
Wait, I didn't meet her.
She was there.
Chris said, congrats.
I wasn't trying to be, hold up. Amber might be listening. I wasn't trying to be shady.
Like, he's like, I mean, congrats.
Yeah, congrats. Like, you know, it's all good.
Yes.
We
know
that.
No, seriously, like, we're really going to do a dating game show, and you should definitely come back.
Definitely, yeah. Without
a
doubt.
For the love of Amber.
Without a doubt.
Okay, I'm here for it. Like, I'm here for it. Like, okay. Now I'm getting excited. Chris, don't be jealous.
I'm not a jealous guy. This is okay. I'm excited for this.
Okay, because you can't win the game. So
I'm just chilling. I'm in the background. Okay. I'm not here. For certain, I'm not here when okay. that does happen.
Okay. Here we go. 6 degrees of separation. We have this week. So, because we did the Hot Topics, we're going to do Sharon D. Clarke to Jordan okay. Sparks.
Yeah, I was like,
I
was like, wait, this is for
damn,
us.
Damn.
I would have preferred the monologue. Sharon honestly.
D. Me too. Shit. Sharon D. Clarke to Jordan Sparks. Okay. Hold on.
This is all on you, Kevin. I'm going to be straight up with you.
Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Y'all can't, no pressure, you can't think of nothing?
Hold on. Okay. So Jordan Sparks did In the Heights on Broadway. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think theater specific for a second to see where I can get to Sharon from her. All right. Okay. So if Jordan did In the Heights on Broadway and she was in the replacement cast, which means she would have done it with who in that? Damn, did Greg Haney ever do?
Yo, you got this, Cat Man. Come on.
I'm trying to think
you're
of
how. You not gonna help
him
at all?
No, he ain't gonna help me. It's true.
It's all
he said, literally, the nigga looked at me and said, "You yep. got it." Shit. Okay. Hang on.
Yeah,
on.
You got it.
So, Jordan Sparks did American Idol, which is like shit. Simon Cowell and shit.
Okay.
So I'm in Britain already. Okay. Check me out. God, I made it to the UK. God damn it. All right. So she did the American Idol thing, which is Simon Cowell. I bet money Simon Cowell at some point has interacted with Sharon D. Clarke.
You can't bet money. You gotta tell me.
Hang on. I'm getting there. Hang on. All right. Okay. So that's American Idol. That's Simon Cowell. That's the British thing, which means at some point, in theory, damn, I got close and then I got stuck. I was figuring something out. I got to the UK though. That's further you got, Shakur.
Yeah,
shit.
I didn't go anywhere.
I got to the pond. Yeah, I got across the pond. Yeah. Damn. Okay. Hey. Hold on. Okay. So
I believe in
can
you.
Can I use my phone for clues?
You cannot use your phone.
I'm just out here.
You're just out here.
Okay.
You got to think. Okay. So I'm gonna try to give you a little help. So Sharon D. Clarke.
Uh-huh.
She's done shows like every show you can think of.
Yeah.
From Lion King to Guys and Dolls.
Uh-huh.
To Rent.
Did she do Sister Act too? Am I tripping?
I don't know that she's done Sister Act. I know she's done Ghost the musical.
Ghost, that's what I was just thinking.
She's
of.
Done
yeah.
Ghost the musical.
Uh-huh.
She's also done The A-Man Corner.
Wait, okay, hang on. Okay.
Got it.
Wait, you got
no,
one?
You got it. I'm here. I'm in your corner, dog. Like,
So if she did Ghost the Musical, that means she did it with old girl. Is it Cassie Levy who originated that role in Ghost the Musical, right? In London and in New York, I think, if I'm not tripping.
Oh, did she? Let me see. Hold on.
I'm gonna find. I'm gonna work my way back to America now. I made it across the pond. Now I'm making my way back to America.
Let's
so
see, hold on. So the West End version starred. Let's see.
Or I might have another connection. Hold up.
Cassie Levy was in the Manchester.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So Cassie right. Levy. Yeah, I'm gonna get there.
I see where you're going with this. Right,
so Cassie Levy, and then Cassie did that production of Hair here in the city.
Oh,
which would have been in New York.
She was Sheila in Hair.
Yes, she played Sheila in New York, and it would have been around the same time that In the Heights, that Jordan would have been replacing in the Heights potentially.
But was Jordan Hair?
No. I'm gonna get there. Hang on. Okay. Let me go on my journey for a second. So if Cassie was doing Hair in the City at the same time that Jordan was doing In the Heights. Mm-hmm. At some point,
you gotta give me.
At some point, they did like Broadway and Bryant Park together, or like some other shit where they was in the green room. I'm gonna get there.
Give me.
Okay. Hang on. All right. Wait.
If you want to, okay. So I'm gonna help you. So if you want to go from Cassie.
Okay.
Cassie also did Frozen on Broadway.
Correct.
With Jelani Aladdin.
Yes.
Jelani Aladdin.
Did he do In the Heights?
He did not do In the Heights. He did, let's see, Jelani did.
No, he did Frozen was like his Broadway debut, question mark? I thought, maybe I'm tripping.
Frozen was his Broadway debut, but I'm trying to think of a show that he did that would possibly connect him with Jordan Sparks.
Interesting. Are you talking about like workshops or something that I wouldn't know? Lord Jesus, help me. All right, let me think. Wait a minute. Jordan Sparks was in that Sparkle movie too.
Right, she was.
Who the hell else was in that damn Sparkle movie? That's my question. Who the hell else was in the Sparkle movie?
This helps you because if you go from Cassie to Jelani.
Wait, hold up. Wait.
Or what?
I think I got it. Real talk. Okay. So Carmen, I never say her last name right.
Delavala?
No. Carmen Igoja. She's Jeffrey Wright's ex-wife. And she was in the Sparkle movie with Jordan Sparks. She played the oldest sister in that movie. And she's a British actor. And at some point, she and she's done a lot of shows in the West End, I think, too. Maybe including one with Sharon. I'm trying to get there.
But you got to know which show.
I'm going to figure it out, Drew. Damn, I'm figuring it out. Help me, Lord. Okay. Wait. Who else was in that Sparkle movie, Shakur? Did you see the damn Sparkle movie?
Nope.
I feel like you should go back to...
Should I go back to Cassie?
Yes. I feel like you should go back to Cassie. I guess... let me think.
Somebody else that was in Hair or Frozen? Who else was in Frozen? Patty Mary. Who else is in Frozen?
I would say Aisha Jackson.
Aisha Jackson.
Who else black is in Frozen? That's all I know.
But Aisha didn't. She didn't do like In the Heights or anything with Jordan. Didn't Jordan? Oh wait.
Well, you got to think of, because you still have so many. You still have like maybe two or three connections to make. Working. So I'm trying to get you to someplace else that will get you.
I'm trying to get
Jordan.
There, Drew. Thank you for your help. I appreciate you. God bless you and keep you. I appreciate you. I'm trying to get there.
Who?
I'm trying to get there.
And you got this, Kemet.
Do I?
Yep.
We're gonna see what the Lord does.
Also, think Jordan Sparks was also in.
Didn't she do something in LA? She did a couple like Hollywood Bowl shows? Question mark.
Did she do a Hollywood Bowl?
There's like something else that rings a bell of her theater related beyond, like between In the Heights and now this. She's done some other theater related things and I'm blanking on what they are. And I thought maybe they were like on the West Coast. I don't think they were in the city. I don't like this game.
You don't like it?
No, I mean, I do because it's challenging, but also I feel like.
So, okay. So I guess, let me think. Jordan Sparks was also in. I guess this is hard.
Yeah. yes, sir.
Oh, no, boom, I got it.
You're correct.
Cassie to Aisha Jackson. Aisha Jackson was in Frozen. She was also in Waitress Ahead of Time. Waitress, who's in Waitress cast now? Aisha Jackson's... Aisha Jackson was in Waitress, but also with, what is her name? Charity. Charity,
okay.
Angel Dawson.
Yes.
Who will be playing Becky when Jordan comes in.
How's that any different than Waitress? My, like, Cassie and Jordan could have passed each other
at some point, hypothetically.
In the green room.
Maybe.
Well, because Jordan has already started rehearsals, I'm pretty sure, for Waitress.
I guess.
And so she will be working with Becky.
Uh-huh.
Charity Angel Dawson. So boom, I got it.
I'm just saying though. I, okay.
Because you, I have an exact place and time of when they will be together. You use like
I was getting
hypothetically
close.
Possibility. Oh my God! Okay, well that was long. That was a good one. You know,
I tried.
That was much.
I tried.
I still support you, Ken, man. Just know, you. I know I didn't help, but.
You did not help
did
at
not
all.
Help, not, yeah, not, like, not, like,
not at all.
You weren't even trying to.
You didn't do nothing. They just looked at me and
you didn't have no thoughts, like no idea. Nope.
Giving me moral support eyes. Mm-hmm.
Moral
what the
support
hell I'm
eyes.
To do with
I have
that?
Those.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind, like how many people like just don't know who mm-hmm. else is in the industry.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
don't like. Like oh, I couldn't even tell you who's in that cast.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even tell you. But like people will swear you know them.
I swear when I get back to my phone and start to Googling, I'm gonna figure out some stuff.
Yeah,
that's like a little bit. I got you.
Okay.
For my personal notification, I'll text you later.
All right. Okay, so we're gonna go into our listener letter.
Is that the actual intro? That's when you just made up.
Oh, it's still going. My bad. I didn't mean to interrupt your art like that. Oh, it's still going. Shit. Damn.
No, that's an intro right there.
That's serious.
I like that.
That's a listen letters intro. That's Donnie made that up. So now we do that. And he's like, oh, it's still going. Oh, okay. All right. So this is a follow up from from Jeffrey. Jeffrey wrote us, I believe, like 2 weeks ago, and he was asking us about using his voice. So I guess his teacher was telling him to use his stop using his actor's voice, and so we talked about that. So he wrote back and said, thanks for answering my question. As a follow-up to all y'all's comments, Kayla hit it on the head when she mentioned the talking super sassy. What I heard when he would say, yes, that voice is the voice of a hyper-masculine black man. That is not my natural voice. My natural voice is soft-spoken. The play we were working on in my first semester was An Enemy of the People by Abson, adapted by Arthur Miller. Is that adapted by Arthur Miller? Or A. Miller. It just says A. Miller. Adapted by A. Miller. The character that I was getting this feedback on was Thomas Stockman. I did have a conversation inspired by listening to Off Book. And the discussions Danya has led and spoke on about being black in a white space. I simply asked one of my teachers who I felt comfortable with how he would suggest I navigate this factor. To paint the picture a little more, there are now two of us in my cohort, me, a 32-year-old black male, and a 25-year-old white male. My teacher suggested I start finding monologues now that I would want to use when we take monologue class in the third semester, top of 2020. I'm always trying to stay up to date in black shows, new and classic or not. Congrats to Danya on graduation and Soft. I'm going to try to see Sugared on Wounds in Richmond next year. Drew Blake, break legs on all your auditions. Keep up the great work. You have made a huge impact on my life. I am now guessing and getting I said what I said right more often because of Off Book. Oh, yay. That makes my heart happy. Where is our Queen Amber? Oh, she's off being booked and blessed. Okay, cool. Can she drop in and give us a little cameo soon? Yes. I want to know the same thing, Amber. Can you drop in and give us a cameo soon? thank you so much, Jeffrey, for writing in. We appreciate you so much. I'm glad you got what you were looking for and what you needed and that you were able to make the moves necessary to continue your training and your growth. And that's what we want to hear. So if you ever have any more questions in considering when it comes to your training and what's happening, please email us offbook@broadwayblack.com. That is the email address. All of y'all, send in your questions, send in your comments. You know, we be talking about a whole bunch of stuff on here. And I know y'all be talking back to us, you know what I'm saying? But so write in and just, you know what I'm saying? Or even send me a little voice note or something. I mean, I can't guarantee I'm going to remember, but you know what I'm saying? I want to hear from you. You know what I'm saying? Send it into offbook@broadwayblack.com. We'd love to hear from you. This letter is from, please don't say my real name on air. This is from Star. Hey, Star. You're a star. Star says, hey, Off Book. My name is Star. I've wanted to write to you all for quite some time, but each time I started to write the email, I felt like it wasn't time yet. One time I even sent the email, but I had the wrong address, so it was sent back to me, so I took that as a sign. Mm. Here's some background info on my situation and where my question's coming from. Originally, I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I moved to New York to attend the conservatory program at AMDA, also known as SCAMDA. Ooh, I never heard
that. Oh, you never heard that?
Oh.
Well, because I know some people that have went to AMDA and have, they be booking.
Yeah.
Like, who I was just talking about, Charity Angel Dawson, she's been on Broadway for a couple of years.
Yeah, and but I've definitely heard the SCAMDA thing before, too.
Wow.
I've heard both. Like, shout out to everybody's booked and shout out to everybody that got scammed.
I mean, I guess if you're talented, you're talented. Yeah. No matter where you go.
That's like, true.
But people getting scammed, dude. That's funny to me. After completing the program, I went on to live in NY for 2 more years. During my time, I was auditioning and surviving just as every other artist in the city. The auditioning world for a black girl can be rather brutal in the subtlest ways. Once I realized that the panel in the audition room 9 times out of 10 were looking for a specific side of me that I could never fully give them, I got discouraged, and as a coping mechanism, I would always find an excuse as to why I couldn't attend the next audition. Girl, I know. I be doing that to myself over and over again. Like, oh, I ain't gonna go. I was gonna go, but I ain't gonna go. But in addition to that, I also discovered that there are barely any black producers in the industry. So I set myself on an entirely new path in the theater world, the production Shout side out. Of things. Yeah. I moved back home for a bit. New York got too expensive and survival jobs just weren't cutting it. And this new path is showing me to be amazing. It's showing to be amazing and et cetera. But I miss performing and training so much that I sing in the streets of my city, not really giving a fuck as to who can see or hear me. Mm. The only reason I even pushed myself into this new world is so that I can pull a Lin-Manuel. Lin-Manuel, being the star in a show that I also produced. My question is, other than college, because my opinions on college and how undergrad is basically a scam is for an entirely different letter, how can I continue to train in the real world? I know that most of your answers might pertain to New York, but I still want to hear all the information that you guys have to offer. Thank you so much for reading my letter, and I hope to hear the answer soon. Don't say my real name on air, but I hope to work with each of you one day. Thank you so much, Star. I appreciate you for writing in. So what I would say, let's go back. The question is, she's been doing like production side of things. She's been being a producer. She moved back home. She's doing that. Now she's singing in the streets because she just want to sing.
Yeah.
Other than college, how can she continue to train in the real world?
I have plenty to say on this one. It's interesting. Like, I think, first of all, I am a producer literally by way of my job, and I've never gone to school for producing. So, like, to her whole point, college is not the be all end all as far as that whole conversation is concerned. Mm-hmm. Period. For anything, really. Like, I've trained as an actor, as a director, in terms of my formal training, and have other things that I got to do on the collegiate side. But now here I am as a producer, and the reality is, it's like all of it prepared me for what I'm doing right now. Yeah. And the best training is frankly just doing it. Like, nobody told me, I didn't wait around and tell somebody and wait for someone to tell me that I could be a producer. I just said, I'm a producer, is literally how it happened. And then before I knew it, here I am in New York City now as like the producer at a major institution. And prior to that, I've also ran everything else. And it was really all because I just said I wanted to see my own work being done. I think one of the most important things, I speak especially for young black folk who are interested in producing, it's really about recognizing that we are more than able and capable of being able to have a full handle on all facets of what it is that we do and our stories thereof. Because oftentimes, especially because we are so talented, you know, especially like black folks, like, listen, I'm glad to hear she's still singing in the streets. Like, I grew up in the church, like, I grew up singing and everything else. Like, I still manage to like find ways every now and then, like, you know, Shakur saw this summer, here and there, to like still do my thing when I want to. But the reality is, it's like the minute you allow somebody else to tell you that that's all you can do is the minute then that's all you will do.
Right.
And so, you know, it's really about being able to say, like, no, I deserve to see myself in every place and space around every table. And I'm presently in a position where I am literally 90% of the time, as again, you know, folks here have seen evidence, the only one in the room. And it's because I know I deserve to be there. And I look at people like, yes, and this is what we're going to do, and this is what we have to pay attention to. And so the best training that you can get, especially on the production and the producerial side, is to just get your hands dirty. Just get in there and like mess up, make mistakes, do what you can to like figure out how to make it work. And frankly, as long as you know how to communicate, you'll be fine.
Yeah. And also would say, get into a class. Like, I mean, you don't have to go to school to train, but you can also find a conservatory that offers classes to the public, or some place that does offer a place where you can be in the midst of people that want to learn the same things that you do. Attracting that energy and being a part of that energy in a space, in a learning space that more people want to do the same things that you do, only helps you to and motivates you to go full force. It reminds you that your dream is a possibility when you surround yourself with other people that are on the road and in the path to do the same thing, whatever they want to do. You know, they may not want to do the same things that you do, and you may not want to do the same things that they do, but being in the same space where people are on the same wavelength can really motivate you to keep training. And also YouTube, like, you know what I'm saying? I know some people that can't afford vocal lessons, so they go on YouTube and they take vocal exercises and do different things. Huge. And they research to try to get the most out of what is available to us. And the internet allows you to find so many different avenues to train. I mean, I know there are people like taking dance classes. You can do so much on the internet. I mean, it's about really just putting in the intention and putting in the effort to learn. If you really want to learn, you can do that. And you don't have to go to Scamda to do it.
Mm-hmm. No.
What about you?
I think I always try to be open to like teaching and learning, not opportunities, but I guess possibilities. Like, I was just watching a show on Comedy Central, and there was like, it was like, it was funny, and I need like a new comedic monologue, and someone was saying a monologue, and I was like, wait, this is great. And so, I just recorded it real quick, and, I plan on learning that. And so, I try to like always not underestimate, I guess, like low stake things. Like, I had a friend at Williamstown actually like talk to me about a play I wrote like a while ago. And so, like, now I'm thinking about, like, I'm working on it, and, like, I want to just get some people together, like, in my room and just kind of read it through. And, like, that's helping me, like, work on my craft, like, whether it be, like, because I'm also going to be acting in it. But, like, and that's just going to be for, like, probably max, like, 5 people. And, but, that's still a performance, and that's still something to work on. So I try to always put myself in, obviously, like, I'm auditioning and all that. But I also try to put myself in, like, low-stake things where, like, I can present something small, or I can write something real quick, or like, whether it be like, working on like a small monologue in a play, or like if I have like a poem that I'm like, like trying to work on real quick, I always try to like just be open to like, oh, like this is a moment I can like learn something or get something or gain something. If I see a show that I like, I try to find a way where I can get the script, because I'm like, yo, I need that monologue. And like, even if it's just like, To say those words out loud, I don't need
for
it. Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Like, what was the last show I did that with? I'm totally forgetting, but yeah, I looked for it. I couldn't find the script, but I remembered part of it, and so I just said them for myself. And yeah. It used to feel silly when I started doing that, but like, I always just try to just do whatever I can to like put myself in a position of like doing something positive. Or doing something, that's gonna like, I always think about, like, I read this thing about how like Kobe would practice before practice. Like, he would wake up, like, if practice started at like 8, he would wake up at like 5 and like shoot around. And I'm like, I try to put myself in those positions all the time. And it's so hard when like you're a creative, because like, you don't like, it's your platform isn't always going to be the stage or like, the movie set, sometimes
as
you have
might
to make
think
your own
when you grow up, like, as you might think that it would be like your stage is literally anywhere that you are.
It's your bedroom, sometimes it's your car, work on like some musicals like in your car, like while you're taking your commute to work.
What else is like super dope about what she just said? It's like, one of the things that I found to be like huge for me and like in terms of like how I was able to like turn my own corner with like getting to where I wanted in my career is like focusing more on networking like across as opposed to networking up, meaning like looking at the folks right next to me. You know what I mean? Like, it was literally because I sat down with my friends like Jare and shout out to like Freddie Fulton and like a couple other folks who I started Pyramid with in Des Moines, and it was that is like that got me to Chicago and to the Goodman, and then it was that got me to, you know what I'm saying, right? Like, it wasn't that I was like reaching for any of those things. Like, I was literally minding my business and just making work with my friends, said, like sitting down and like producing things. Like, that's how I became a producer. It was like, I was the one who was like, all right, cool, I'll organize and put everything together. And then before I knew it, I was a producer.
Yeah.
And so like networking across and not worrying so much about how we network up.
Yeah.
I think especially for Black folks, because frankly, unfortunately right now, there's still not a whole lot of us in a lot of those major, major positions, So as you're networking up, you're automatically networking up to a place where you might be walking into a room where you're the only one, which is cool. But when you're networking across and you're working and collaborating with all those folks who are like in the same place as you and like finding strength and unity with them, it's a beautiful thing.
And that's something that helped my auditioning out so much. Like when I started, I used to just do it all by myself, but once I started like inviting people in to help me, like, you know, work on the side, and like, you know, and I always go help out like someone like whenever I can, like seeing how they do a side, like, you know, like if you have like a friend who has the same side as you, like seeing like what choices they make versus what choices you make, and like, you know, feeling solid in your choices that are that, and like not being like, oh, like they're doing that, so maybe I should too, like, no, like just, you know, whatever you choose, just like run with that wholly. And like, yeah, like I mean, just like allowing yourself to be vulnerable in front of people in terms of like showing like, you know, something that might not be the most polished thing, like that took me like to the next level without a doubt, like being able to say, hey, like can I work on this with you, like just that like can take you somewhere special.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we thank y'all so much for joining us today.
Thank
it's
you
it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Still
thank you so much. We'll have you back again soon, I'm sure. Now that you're back in the city and, mm-hmm. and out of the bump up Aegis.
Out of the woods.
Well, thank y'all so much. It's been a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We've hit our mark and we've done it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Kim Mann Martin.
I'm Shakur Tolliver.
And we out, y'all. Deuces. Yep. Thanks, Chris. Yep.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.